Good day, and welcome to the Crédito Real Investor Relations conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ángel Romano Ferrando, Chief Executive Officer. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our second quarter 2015 conference call. Once again, this quarter proved to be an outstanding one. Our net income increased 18%, and our loan portfolio increased 19% when compared to last year's same quarter. Both indicators are in line with our 2015 guidelines. Our loan book is growing steadily in a well-diversified way. Used cars, SMEs, and payroll loans are reporting double-digit growth, consistent with our strategy of expanding to new products and reaching new markets. Payroll origination amounted for just a third out of the total origination for the quarter. Our distribution network keeps supporting our loan portfolio expansion. In the used car line of business, Drive and Cash reached 51 branches, while our used car dealer in the United States opened a new location to end up with 3 points of sale, and now we're selling up to 150 cars per month. Our group loan operators reached 122 branches with a sales force of 913 promoters and close to 120,000 active customers. We have made important achievements in payroll with pensioners. This quarter, 12% of total origination came from this market. The potential market size of pensioners is huge. According to Instituto Mexicano del Seguro Social data, the market amounts to over 3 million people in Mexico. Another positive element of this segment is its collection process, which is stable and reliable as that of the centralized TESOFE. We expect to increase our participation drastically in this market in the coming quarters. Though our payroll yield remained steady over the last year, as we increase our participation with pensioners, this might lead to a pressure on this variable. However, we are convinced that this will be more than offset with the enormous potential of growth in this market. On the funding side, we reached a substantial improvement of 160 basis points on our cost of funds when compared to the same quarter of last year, and it is set now at 7%. Not in the second quarter, but worth mentioning because of its importance, is that during July, we were able to fix over 50% of our floating debt at a 7% rate. As you know, all of our international debt is at a fixed rate in dollar terms. And on top of that, we have a cross-currency swap, which takes away all of the currency risk. But the debt was linked to TIIE in peso terms. Now, half of our total debt in the company is fixed at 7% till 2019. We are confident that with this initiative, we'll help to keep more stable margins in the following years. Clearly, one of our main objectives has been to get access to new funding sources and to keep improving our funding cost on a sustained way. One of the alternatives to strengthen our funding we evaluated was getting a banking license. After deeply evaluating on a comprehensive manner the long-term costs and benefits, we decided not to proceed at this time with it. So we do not discard to pursue it in the future, and thus we will keep our accounting and reserves practices as we have them today, which is complying with banking regulations. The main reasons for the decision are twofold. First, the potential savings in funding are almost offset by additional costs. And second, a key element of Crédito Real's business model is to have the flexibility to undertake new business opportunities through different schemes, joint ventures, partnerships, minority equity investments, etc. Whereas under the banking structures, we are required to obtain approval from the banking authorities for any M&A transaction. So this loss of flexibility would likely lead to restrict our opportunities for growth. We are going to keep focused on growing on a diversified way and keep strengthening our funding capacity. Today, we work with different national and international banks. We have access to local and international debt markets, and we are evaluating new alternatives such as portfolio securitizations and commercial paper. In summary, we are confident in our belief that Crédito Real, under its current structure, will be able to have a sustainable business model with sustainable margins and continue to develop to deliver profitability to all of our shareholders. We are actively looking for new partnerships and distributors in order to keep building on our business model. Lately, we are involved in closely evaluating opportunities in the fintech market, as we are convinced that this will be the more cost-efficient and effective way to better service our customers in the near future. Thank you very much for being in our call, and I will now turn the call over to Carlos Ochoa, our CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. As Angel just said, the quarter was again solid in terms of growth and returns. Our business model continues to reach underserved customers among different loan products. Regarding the loan portfolio, increased by 18.9 to reach 14.8 billion pesos at the end of the second quarter, compared to the 12.44 billion pesos recorded at the end of the quarter of previous year. The loan book growth was driven by expansion in payroll, SMEs, and used car loans. In terms of origination, we posted a 32.6 growth, mostly due by an increase in the payroll and SMEs, as I already mentioned. Regarding group loans, our operators Contigo and Somos Uno reported a 50.4% loan portfolio expansion and a 44.1% year-over-year growth in origination. As mentioned before, we recognize in our balance sheet only the funding provided to our partners, Contigo and Somos Uno. That is because we own a minority equity participation of 38% and 23% respectively. The group loan portfolio in our balance sheet reached 259 million pesos, but the loan portfolio of our partners reached 460 million pesos. Our group loan partners have been able to expand their loan portfolio, maintaining high asset quality after successfully implementing mechanisms to manage group promoters and consistently exerting tight controls and increasing market presence. As of the second quarter of 2015, our group loan network serves almost 130 customers, and the NPLs of the group loan partners was 0.7% in the quarter. When non-performing loan portfolio as a percentage of the portfolio was 2.1% this quarter, equivalent to 308 million pesos compared to the 1.5% ratio last year. The NPL is in line with the 2-3% long-term objective as we achieve larger diversification of our loan portfolio. Allowances for loan losses for this quarter was 392 million with a 1.3 times coverage ratio. Looking forward, we observed more effective collection of our distributors, stable flows, and certainty from the TESOFE and payroll. In consequence, we believe that the current coverage ratio will reflect our reserves need. When it comes to the interest income, during this quarter, we reached interest income of 976 million pesos, increasing 26% when compared to the second quarter of 2014, in line with our loan portfolio growth. Accordingly, the year-to-date interest income increased 22% when compared to 2014. Talking about the financial margin, increased 38% to 736 million, showing interest income growth and decreasing funding costs. Similarly, year-to-date financial margin rose 29% when compared to 2014. Administrative expenses. We reached 222 million pesos during the second quarter, showing a 68% increase when compared to 2014. Year-to-date, administrative expenses increased 78%. The increase in both figures is mainly explained by the consolidation of Condinero's expenses and a larger investment in in brand recognition and marketing efforts. However, over the year, we are already seeing some efficiency gains, and this is clear when you compare it to the efficiency ratio of 34% last quarter against 32% this quarter. When it comes to the participation in results of associates and non-controlling participation, we reached 17 million this quarter compared to the 24 million pesos recorded during the second quarter of 2014. Year to date, the June figure rose to 35 million pesos in 2015 compared to the 45 million posted in 2014. In both cases, the decrease is mainly explained by the effect of consolidating Condinero, which we previously recognized under the equity method in this account. Finally, net income increased 18% this quarter, reaching 333 million pesos compared to the 283 million in the second quarter of 14. Year to date, net income increased 19%, reaching 660 million excluding the non-recurring item of the 2014. Taking into consideration our expectations of a potential increase in the interest rate, during July, we decided to fix the interest rate for a 375 million notional amount of our senior note due in 2019 at a 7% fixed rate. This compares favorably with the 8.6% rate we paid before, which included a 7.5 coupon rate plus a 1.1 cross-currency swap hedge. With this initiative today, over 50% of our debt is fixed, having an additional and substantial improvement in the funding cost. Finally, our key financial ratios. The cost of funds for the second quarter reached of 2015 reached 7.7%, showing an improvement against the 8.6 reported in the same period of the previous year. During the quarter, we achieved return on assets of 6.3% and a return on equity of 22.9%, which compares with the 6.7 and the 24.1 reported in the previous years. The decrease is explained by the change in the portfolio mix and group loans change in strategy. Those indicators confirm Crédito Real as one of the most profitable players within the Mexican financial sectors. In terms of the efficiency ratio, this quarter efficiency ratio reached 32.3% compared to the 26.1% in 2014, reflecting the consolidation of Condinero's expenses. Our capitalization index reached 40.5% compared to the 38.2% registered at the end of the second quarter previous year. This is due to a 30% equity increase year over year, which resulted higher than the loan portfolio growth. Our average ROE remains at 23%. We also remain with a low average leverage of only 2.4 times as measured by the debt-to-equity ratio, or 40% measured by the capitalization index. With this, I conclude my remarks, and let me now turn the call to the operator to open the call for questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll go first to Tito Labarta with Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thank you for the call. So a couple questions. First, in terms of your margins, you mentioned that you could see some further pressure there because you're growing with pensioners, but should be offset by higher growth. I was wondering if you could maybe just give a little bit more color on there, because last quarter you mentioned margins should kind of begin to stabilize a bit, which we did see a little this quarter. But just wanted to get a sense of how much pressure you think that could add to margins going forward, and how much also on how much growth can offset that. And then a second question in terms of provisioning levels. We saw provisions fall quite a bit this quarter, even though asset quality remains under control. You know, you still have guided for provisions to rise in the longer term to above 3% of loans. So you just want to get a sense, why were provisions so much lower this quarter? Is anything extraordinary there, or do, what kind of provisioning levels we should expect, at least for the second half of the year. I guess I would expect that to pick up. I just want to get a sense of how much, given the long-term guidance you've given on that. Thank you.
Hello, Tito. Nice talking to you. First, the first part of your question, talking about the margins to pensioners, this is a very huge market, and it'll be more competitive than other markets in which we participate today. So we expect yields to be lower than they are in our regular payroll business. We're talking about, to give you an example, on our regular payroll business, the monthly global interest rate is between 2.8 and 3%, and in the pension years, we believe it'll be around 2.4% on a global basis. Now, the pension years represent a very huge market that is really untapped today, and we believe we have a first-mover advantage. We have a huge sales force dedicated exclusively to the pension years today. We believe we can keep growing in that market, and it's a very sure market for collections. They're always on time, and you don't have any trouble that you, like you have with some states in Mexico. Talking about provisions, our provisions have behaved better than we had supposed because of the changes in how we get paid on the whole payroll business. 70% of our customers today are on a federal state level, so we get paid directly by PESOFE. So we don't have any more late payments from the states, and this makes our portfolio much better and with less accounts on more than 90 days that we have to provision. So we should see this being stable and keep it that way on the payroll business. And on our other lines of business, we have been very stable on provisions and on what we had expected for. So we don't expect to see any changes on that in the near future. I don't know if this answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. That's very helpful, Angel. Just a couple of quick follow-ups. So first on the pensioners, could you then maybe just give a little color in terms of the growth potential, or, you know, like payroll loans grew 18% this quarter. Is that a growth that we should expect, or can growth be higher than that given the potential you see with the pensioners? And then and just a follow-up on the provisions. So does this mean that provisioning levels, say going forward or in the longer term, do you think, or at least maybe the second half of this year, can remain below 2% of loans? Is that a reasonable number, or should it still pick up a little bit more than that?
On the provisions, we're always stating that we want to be between 2 and 3%, and that's where we see the future of the business as a whole. On the pensioners, it may be lower, but on the new businesses, we're starting to grow, and their new businesses, we expect them to be a bit higher. So as a company as a whole, we expect to remain around 2% with a top of 3%, as we expressed at the beginning of the year. On the pensioner market, we do believe that we can grow our whole payroll business between 15 and 20%, and most of this growth will come from pensioners. We are really concentrating on this market because of the factability of getting collections on time and the untapped market that it is. So we do expect to grow a lot on the pensioners. But the portfolio is so large today for us on the payroll business that it's difficult to grow the whole portfolio just on the pensioner side.
Right. And just to clarify a little bit about the pensioners, just if you compare the first quarter to the second quarter of this year, the participation of the pensioners within our payroll portfolio increased to 11% from the 9% we previously have during the first quarter. So this shows the dynamism we see in that segment, and we are intending to be more aggressive in terms of origination in the pensioners market.
Okay, great, thank you. That's very helpful.
Again, it is star one to ask a question. And I'm showing no questions in the queue at this time. We do have David Lee with Lizard Investors. Go ahead, David Lee.
Hi, yeah, just want to follow up on the provisioning, but more precisely about the charge-offs or delinquency over time. How do you guys think about it in terms of charge-offs versus provisioning? So we just get a sense of how much buffer there is, not just in the medium term, but more of the longer term. Thanks.
Hi, David. If you look at the cost of risk or provisioning divided by the loan portfolio we report this quarter, it's something that actually improves compared to the last quarter. We are reporting a year-to-date figure of 1.8% cost of risk that compares favorably with a 1.9% last year. So in this sense, we are confident that the level of coverage and level of reserves we currently have, that is 1.3 times basically the non-performing loans, is adequate. Looking forward, we have been discussing that the historical cost of risk is more in the range of 3 to 4%. So we think gradually we will going to revert to that level, but currently we are seeing a very favorable behavior in terms of collection in all the lines of businesses. And the cost of risk year to date is, as I said, below 2%. So that is a very positive number for us, and that's the reason we are confident with the current level of reserve.
Okay, and I also have a follow-up. Can you just talk a little bit about the durable goods and small businesses? I know one of the segments you guys have pulled back, but the NPL is up quite sharply, right, for both the segments. How should we think about them? Is there anything sort of mix change within durable goods or within small businesses where you guys feel confident you can bring that down over time, or how should we think about that?
Yeah. Hi, David. You know, when it comes to that's in general terms with the portfolio overall. We have always privileged the performance of the portfolio over the size of the portfolio. So when talking about the durable goods business, what we've been doing in the last month, more visible during the two last quarters, we've been more restrictive in terms of the credit origination because we prefer to have a better performance within the portfolio. So in the future, what we do expect is we're going to, you know, to reach new markets, probably something over the, you know, more on the being more efficient on the technological side of the business or things like that, no? But as you can see, that would explain the decrease in size that we've seen in this particular business over the last two quarters.
Okay. And what about small businesses? That NPL is up, you know, about a little over a point year on year, and your volume has gone up, you know, 42%. Just want to understand a little bit about what's going on there and how should we think about that and how, you know, what's kind of driving, you know, the increase in the NPL there.
Hello, David. This is Angel Romanos. On the SMEs business, we're still growing. We're still trying new things. We do believe that we're going to do very good on that business. We're growing at a very substantial rate. We're trying new ways of getting to the customer. We've been trying new strategies to get the customers. And those, we're getting some bad accounts. But we believe we're getting to a point where we can manage risk very well and keep growing at the same rates we've been growing in the past. So I wouldn't worry about the NPLs on the SME business.
And, you know, finally, it is important to mention on the SME segment is that this is, you know, affected by the economic cycle. So as long as the Mexican economy performs better, we would expect to see some benefits from it, you know. And finally, talking about the SME, as you can see, this quarter compared to the previous one, we grew that portfolio over 42%. So, you know, the NPLs remained at the 2.72% level, which is really well if you compare it to the 3.4% of the NPLs in the sector, right?
Okay. Okay, terrific. Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. We'll go next to Natalia Corfield with JP Morgan.
Hi. Thank you for the question. It's more on the liability side. I see here that you still have around 2.6 billion maturing this year. If you could give us more color on what those are and how are you intending to refinance that, it would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, basically for this year, I mean, what we have is the 1.2 billion in the local market, which we are already we already taking the steps to refinance it. One of these is we have that is due next week, so that's already cleared, and we have another 500 million pesos for October. So we already are starting to look, you know, into refinancing this debt. But, you know, the more important part that we are focusing when it comes to the debt is to, you know, to increase the, to really be sure that the asset matches with the liability. And that's something that we've been doing we've been taking care of that thing in the past here in Crédito Real. So that's our main target when it comes to the debt. We don't see any problems when it comes to refinancing the debt, not this year and in the next one.
Okay, and just a follow up. right now, the duration of your assets and liabilities, do you know what's the where they are at this point?
Yes,
when it comes to the liability, the duration is 2.1 years or something. By the end of the second quarter, it was 2.1 years. And when it comes that's for the liability. And in terms of the asset, that would be for something around 3 years, or a little bit less than that. So as I was already mentioning, we are refinancing the debt and expanding the tenure of the outstanding debt that we have.
Just to complement the answer of Carlos, if we consider the effective duration of the portfolio with the collection, including the interest, that comes down from a three. Three is like the average of origination, but the average effective duration, it's below two. It's between 1.5 and 2 times. So that's much better with the effective duration of the liability.
Okay. You said you have 1.2 billion to refinance, and apparently this is done, and $500 million.
No, 500 million pesos.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Which is 30 something million dollars.
Because if I recollect well, you had a syndicated loan, I think that you guys did at the beginning of the year. The refinancing of those two items that you just mentioned, are they going to be also syndicated or they're going to be rolled over in the local market?
Well, I believe we're going to go to the local markets where we have a very good name and easy access to it, and we're getting better interest rates every time we come to the market. So we'll tap the local markets for those renewals.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, it is star one to ask a question. It appears there are no further questions at this time, Mr. Berrondo. I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Only to say thank you very much for joining our call. We believe we're having a good year so far. We believe the rest of the year should be good for us, too. We're planning on a bunch of new projects that you'll be hearing about on our roadshows and on our next conference calls. And we are sure we will be delivering the best results for our shareholders. Thanks again for believing in us and investing in our company. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.